Service. Typically, this is our adult Sunday school, but there's some little adults, little children in here with us today. There's no Sunday school this morning. Little wannabe adults. Yes, that's right. You can be seated this morning. Our series three So we have a adult Bible study. We have a curriculum, you could say, we go through some rough outlines. And the same topics that are taught here are taught in the Sunday school. So kids, if you were keeping track, it's going to be the same lesson you were going to learn in Sunday school. But our series three is called God, Our Judge and King. And in the first three lessons that we've had so far, we talked about how God brings victory. We're going through judges, right? Deborah and Barak, we talked about that. We talked about, Pastor Jerry spoke on Gideon and the strength of honesty. So we learned about a judge, Gideon. Last week, we learned about Samson's cry. And so if our theme is God, our judge and king, and we've been going through some of the judges so far, this week, we're going to be talking about Samuel and Saul and David. I know some of those aren't judges, but you'll see the transition happen here. The title this morning for this message, so the series is God, Our Judge and King. The title for this message is Help to Understand God's Call. Help to Understand God's Call. Our text this morning is in 1 Samuel 10, 1 through 24. So we're going to be going in and out of 1 Samuel 10, verses 1 through 24. But I just want to read one scripture to start. And you know what? We're not going to read it. We're going to start with prayer. Let's just pray that God just speaks into our hearts this morning. God wants to speak to me. He wants to speak to all of you, whether you're here or online or watching now or watching in 3 years. God wants to speak to your heart this morning through His Word, through His Spirit. So let's pray that God opens our heart. God, speak to our hearts this morning. God, we're here because we want to connect with You. We want to hear what You have to say in our lives, God. Open our hearts and minds to hear it, to accept it, and to give us thoughts to do something about it, God. We submit to Your will and to Your Spirit this morning. Let Your Word and Your Spirit have its power on our lives. In Jesus' name. You've heard me say it multiple times when we get up here and do our adult Bible study, but I believe that the Bible is God's Word. And if it's God's Word, well, if it's God's Word, but it's powerful. God's Word is powerful. And so if it's God's Word, then we should be listening for what His words are saying to us. And I'll keep trying to tell you that, I keep telling you that I like to find myself in the stories that we go through. I might not be a king, I might not be a beggar, I might not be a leper, but there's something in these stories that I can relate to. And so as we're listening to the story today, to the Bible study, let's try to find ourselves in the story. What do you relate to? How or what is the message God is speaking to you from His word? So we're going to talk about Samuel. Let's start for Samuel. This is an interesting time in Samuel in Israel's life. Israel is the nation of Israel, the people that God had chosen, that He brought out of Egypt. And then they went through, we're reading the book of Judges, they went through all these judges, right? It's an interesting time for Israel because from the chaos and violence that was in and kind of with the judges that led them to the book of Samuel where they actually start having kings. So they went from a nation that had they just had judges, and there's a little chaos there, a little bit of violence at times too. But then we're introduced to Samuel, and Samuel is a prophet, he was a kingmaker, and he was the last judge of Israel. It's interesting because the people essentially got sick of judges, not the book, the people. They got sick of judges, and really they got sick of God leading them. And they wanted a king. They wanted to be like everyone else. And you'll see God warned them of their choice. In Samuel 10, 24, it says, Samuel said to all the people, do you see the Lord, the one the Lord has chosen? There is no one like Him among the entire population. And they said, long live the king. So the people of Israel are going from a community where they had a judge over them, which didn't go great for them. It didn't work perfectly. But it wasn't, we'll get into that more. And now they're saying they want a king to be like all the other countries that have kings because everything was working great for them. And so today we're going to review Samuel, Saul, and David in our lesson as we learn about understanding the call of God on your life. Okay? And I think I gave you the wrong thing, Sister Tara. The title that I wrote down, the Series 3 overview, which is Our God, Our Judge and King. This lesson is Help to Understand God's Call. Sorry about that. So I have a little video that I want to play for you. Sister Tara and I, we're going to try this. Bear with us if it doesn't go great, okay? Sister Tara, let's see if we can get that rolling.
The books of 1 and 2 Samuel. They're two separate books in our modern Bibles, but that division is due simply to scroll length. It was originally written as one coherent story. We're just going to cover the book of 1 Samuel in this video. So after Israel was rescued from slavery in Egypt, they made a covenant with God at Mount Sinai and eventually came into the Promised Land. And there, Israel was supposed to be faithful to God and obey the covenant commands. Before the book of Samuel, Judges showed how Israel failed at that task big time. It was a period of moral chaos, and it showed Israel's need for wise, faithful leaders. The book of Samuel provides an answer to that need. The book of Samuel's story focuses on three main characters: the prophet Samuel, where the book gets its name, and then King Saul, and after that, King David. And all three of them transitioned Israel from a group of tribes ruled by judges into a unified kingdom ruled by King David in Jerusalem. And the book of Samuel has a fascinating design that weaves the story of these three characters together in four main parts. Samuel, he's the key leader and prophet in the first section of the book, but then he also plays a key role in the next section, which is Saul's story, and it's told in two movements: Saul's rise to power and then his failures, and the second part is about his downfall and his tragic death. And then the drama of Saul's demise is matched by David's exciting rise to power. And then David's story is told in two movements. First, he rides the wave of his success, followed by his own tragic failure and the slow self-destruction of his family and then his kingdom. The book concludes with an epilogue that reflects back over the whole story. So let's dive in and see how this all unfolds. Part one picks up from the chaos of the book of Judges, and we're introduced to a touching story about a woman named Hannah. And she's grieved because she has never been able to have children. And by God's grace, she finally has a son named Samuel. And in joy, she sings this amazing poem in chapter 2. And the poem is all about how God opposes the proud and exalts the humble, about how despite tragedies and human evil, God is working out his purposes in history. And also it's about how God will one day raise up an anointed king for his people. Now, Hannah's poem has been placed here at the beginning of the book to introduce these key themes that we're going to see throughout the whole story, like the next one. Samuel grows up and becomes a great prophet and leader for the people of Israel, at the same time that the Philistines rise to power as Israel's arch nemesis. And in this crucial battle, the Israelites get arrogant, and instead of praying and asking God for help, they trot out the Ark of the Covenant as this kind of magic trophy that will automatically grant them victory in battle. And so because of their arrogant presumption, God allows Israel to lose the battle and the ark is stolen. So the Philistines, they take the ark and they place it in the temple of their god, Dagon. And then the God of Israel defeats the Philistines and the god Dagon without an army by sending plagues on the people. And then the Philistines don't want the ark anymore, obviously, and they send it back to Israel. And the point of this little story seems to be this: God is not Israel's trophy, and he opposes pride among the Philistines, but also among his own people. And so Israel needs to remain humble and obedient if they want to experience God's covenant blessing, which opens up into the next large section. The Israelites come to Samuel and they say, "Hey, we want a king like all the other nations have. Go find one for us." And so Samuel, he's kind of ticked off and he goes to consult with God. And God says, "Yes, their motives are all wrong, but if a king is what they want, give them one." And so we're introduced to the figure of Saul.
It's pretty cool, right? Yeah. That's pretty awesome. So I'll explain why I showed you that video, but I want to say something. That's called the Bible Project. If you go onto YouTube and you search the Bible Project, they have those for every single book of the Bible. I just showed you the first 4 minutes of the first half of Samuel. The first part of Samuel is 7 minutes. The second part of Samuel is another 7 minutes. And it's really cool. Me and my family, after we finish reading a book of the Bible, we'll go back and watch one of those videos. Okay? So it's a really awesome thing. But there's some cool themes in there, right? We learned a little bit about Hannah, and we're going to see some of that as we go through our lesson. That's why I want to show it to you, okay? So we learn about Hannah. This is Samuel's mother, and she couldn't have children. She tried it. Her and her husband, they tried. They couldn't have children. And she prayed to God. She was at the temple, and she was praying to God, saying, "If you give me a child, I will dedicate him to the Lord." She then had a son, and she fulfilled her promise. She dedicated Samuel to God, and then she weaned him until she could send him to live in the temple and work in the temple. And so now we have this young man who wasn't in the plans at first because she couldn't have kids, and then she could have children, and she had Samuel. He's working in the temple. And this is where we pick up our story on Samuel. One night Samuel, it says, well, let's read 1 Samuel 3, verses 1. It says, the boy Samuel served the Lord in Eli's presence. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and prophetic visions were not widespread. So people weren't used to hearing just God walk up to them and say something, right? So one day Eli, whose eyesight was failing, was lying in his usual place. Before the lamp had gone out, Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord. This is verse 3, where the ark of God was located. Then the Lord called to Samuel. Verse 4. Then the Lord called to Samuel.
Samuel.
Did they give you a mic? Did they know this was happening? Who's got the mic? No? That wasn't you? Was that you, Jerry? Brother Ben? Okay, well, we'll keep going. The Lord called to Samuel and he said to him, "Here I am." He ran to Eli. He didn't say, "Here I am," to this voice. This was weird. He ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." And Eli's like, "I did not call you. We are trying to sleep." How many parents have done that before? "Get back to bed and lay down." So he went and laid down. And once again, the Lord called him. And he said,
"Samuel."
Who got the notes? I try not to share my notes before. Jordan? No, but seriously, is that you? Do you have something? Do you have anything for me? Am I doing something wrong? Nothing, okay. Okay, so the Lord called to him and said, "Samuel." So Samuel got up. He went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "I didn't call you, my son," he replied. "Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord because the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. This is verse 7. He's just a young boy. And so once again, for the third time, the Lord called Samuel.
Samuel.
Is that you? Did they give you a mic? Are you sure, Brother Seidel? You don't have something for me? You think it was Jack? You sure you don't have something? He got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." And then the Lord understood. Sorry, then Eli understood that the Lord was calling the boy. He told Samuel, "Go and lie down. If he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came, stood there, and called as before. And it said, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel responded, but this time he knew who it was, and he knew what to say. And he said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And when Samuel answered the call, the Lord told him of his ministry, of what he would be doing. He told him what was going to happen to Eli's house, which was not doing good things, how they were going to get in trouble, but that he was going to do something great, that God was going to do something great in Israel, and Samuel was going to be a big part of it. And we read in chapter 3, verses 18 through 20, or starting at 19, Samuel grew, and the Lord is with him, and he fulfilled everything that Samuel prophesied. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was a confirmed prophet of the Lord. Dan to Beersheba, that's like saying from New York to Los Angeles. That's like the upper and lower limits of the country, of the nation of Israel. It's like the whole nation knew that he was going to be the prophet of the Lord because they started seeing a change in his life. When you are in the will of God, when you are doing the things that God has called you, there will be fruit. People will notice. We get it backwards sometimes. We try for the noticing and not doing, right? We'll get to more of that. And so a lesson we learned here about helping to understand the call of God is that we need the ministry. We need our leaders and our mentors to help us hear and understand God's voice in our life. Hannah needed help, and so she prayed, and she went to the leader, the man of God, the priest, to Eli. It was Eli, the man of God, who helped Samuel recognize that it was God's voice, respond to that voice, and understand the message of what the voice was saying. We should always be praying. Prayer is the perfect place to start when trying to understand the call of God. But we also need men and women in our lives, leaders and mentors, that can give us advice, that can speak to us and say, yes, you're hearing from God right there. Or no, that is not from God. That is from your own brain. In praying and talking to our leaders, then we can learn to understand and respond to the call of God. So remember, help to understand God's call. The first help, you have leaders and mentors in your life, men and women, people, they should be there that you can talk to. And so now we learn about Saul. We're going to skip the story to Saul. We know that Samuel, he served as the priest, as the prophet, as the judge in Israel. He was essentially their leader. He was their prayer warrior. They actually begged him, don't stop crying out to the Lord for us. But they still demanded a king. So during this time, during the time of judges, the tribes acted as loose factions, loose federations. Each tribe, you know, Naphtali and Dan and Judah, they kind of acted as their own thing. And sometimes they'd work together, sometimes they weren't, right? They did their own thing. And so we read in 1 Samuel, well, we're not going to read that. Part of the problem was that Samuel's sons, so they're asking for a king, right? The people of Israel say, we want a king. We're not going to have a judge. Well, why is that? There's a couple reasons. One, we read that Samuel's sons were not fulfilling the will of God, as it were. Samuel was perfect. He was blameless. Everything he did was great. I shouldn't say perfect, but everything he was doing was great. There was fruit. He was following God's word. But his sons were not. His sons were accepting bribes, and they could not be trusted. So while Samuel had a great reputation, his sons did not. It reminds me of something I've heard before. How many people have ever heard this? I can't remember who started this quote, and I don't want to get it wrong, but it's not me. That's what's important. I'm not taking credit for it. It said, hard men and women create soft times. Soft times create soft men and women. Soft men and women create hard times. And hard times create hard men and women. Sometimes the things we go through, the difficulties in our life, make our lives more difficult. And it creates in us and makes us stronger. But then that kind of, for the next generation, they lived a little bit easier than we did. And so they're a little bit softer. And then that creates soft times. You'll see it in our society and just maybe what area we're going through right now. But this is kind of what's going on with Samuel. What he went through. His sons are kind of just getting away with whatever. They also, the people of Israel, wanted a stronger military. They saw the other nations around them. But you know what's interesting? The true issue was not Samuel's sons. The true issue was not the military. The true issue was not these other countries being cool. The true issue is that they did not see God as their king. And let me tell you right now, it gets dangerous when we start seeing our leader as our king and not God as our king. It gets different when we start thinking a different leader or a different church will be better. It gets different when we start saying, if this situation changes, then I can do it. And God's sitting there saying, no, I'm your king, not your pastor, not your leader, not Brother Seidel, not your neighbor. I'm your king. Well, but this church, if I could just change churches, God, then it'll make it easier for me. No, it's about serving God. This is not a negative. This is a fully submitted and loyal message to my pastor who I submit to. That's not what this is about. But when we make it about our pastors and our leaders and not God, that's where the problem begins. It all goes back to serving and loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, regardless of what leader you are with. Regardless of what church or community you are in, because we're always going to be wanting something different. Well, their church looks better. Their music's a little bit more up to date. They have a guitar. Their preacher doesn't have to wear a suit. Like, there's all these things, excuses why we could. Let's just love and serve God and see where it takes us. So God told Samuel to choose Saul to be the first king of Israel. And he was privately anointed as king on the edge of town. Not a lot of people, they're not a big thing, just the edge of the town. And so we read in 1 Samuel 9, verses 3 through 6, it says this. One day, the donkeys of Saul's father Kish wandered off. And Kish said to his son Saul, take one of your servants with you and go look for the donkeys. Saul and his servants went through the hill country of Ephraim and then throughout the regions of Shalishah, but they did not find them. They went through the region of Shalim, nothing. Then they went through the Benjamite region, but still didn't find them. Boy, they're doing some looking. They're covering the ground. They're working, right? And when they came to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant who was with him, come on, let's go back, or my father will stop worrying about the donkeys and start worrying about us. Look, the servant said, there's a man of God in this city who is highly respected. Everything he says is sure to come true. Let's go there now. Maybe he'll tell us which way we should go. And this is where Saul finds Samuel. Now, I'm going in and out of these chapters and verses. I highly recommend, first, go read 1 and 2 Samuel. And then, once you're done reading it, go watch those videos. It's really great. Okay, so I'm trying to get in and out. I'm trying to do the Word of God service by reading where I can, but I'm also kind of paraphrasing some too. And so Samuel found Saul while he was looking for his father's donkeys. He found Saul while Saul was working. Samuel told Saul of several signs that would confirm his calling. This is in 1 Samuel 10, 2 through 4. We're not going to go through it all, but it says, he says, you're going to go, you're going to see three men at Bethel. One will have three goats, one will have three loaves of bread, and one will have a clay jar of wine. This is starting to sound like a joke, right? And they will ask you how you are, and then they will give you two of the loaves of bread, and you will accept them. And then you will go to Gibeah, where there are Philistine garrisons. And so he's telling Saul all this. This is all going to happen. And Saul's like, I'm just looking for donkeys, dude. I'm not looking for a couple loaves of bread or this guy with a clay glass jar or whatever it is. And I'm definitely not looking for the Philistines, right? They're our enemies right now. He goes, you will go to Gibeah where there are Philistine garrisons. That's like a lot of troops. And you will see prophets, and the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully on you. This is in 1 Samuel 10, 2 through 4. Will come powerfully on you. We read back to Judges. Let's think back to Judges. And when we hear that, and the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on him, we think of Samson. Yeah, we're strong. And he's going to go over there and kick the rear ends of these Philistines. He's going to get that super strength. He's going to have this. No, it says, and you shall prophesy with them and be transformed. Wait, these other guys got superhuman powers and Gideon got good strategies and all. And he's got prophecy. But then Samuel says, this is how you will know that God is with you. And so 1 Samuel 10 verses 9 says, when Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed his heart. And all the signs that Samuel had said came about that day. And when Saul and his servant arrived at Gibeah, a group of prophets met him. Then the Spirit of God came powerfully on him, and he prophesied along with them. Everyone who knew him previously and saw him prophesy with the prophets asked each other, what has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? Responding to God's call will change our lives. It will change what people see with us, not because I'm wearing a suit or a tie now, but because there is fruit in my life that is coming from God. And so a lesson is that we must allow the Spirit of God to move in our lives. We all have gifts and skills that make us useful to the kingdom of God, but we need more than our skills and abilities. We need the Spirit of God to move in our lives, to make us what we were meant to be. We want to be different. It said Paul was transformed. He was changed. We want to be different like Saul. Think about this. When they introduce Saul and Samuel, they say, he was tall and he was handsome. When they describe him, I think of Superman, right? Big, tall, probably a curly Q in his hair, right? I doubt he had glasses, but he didn't need them, right? I just imagine this handsome, tall, super muscular dude. The girls loved him, right? The men are all like, I want to be like him. That's what I envisioned with Saul. He had skills. He was strong. Well, they say he had skills to pay the bills. Strong. Everybody liked him. He had a great personality. And yet, it wasn't until the Spirit of God came on him that he was changed and transformed. We can have all the skills and the talents in our lives. I can be somebody that can speak naturally in front of anybody, at work, here, whatever. But if God's Spirit is not in it, it doesn't matter. I'm just talking. And so my skill set or your skill set, whatever it may be, if God is not in it and his spirit is not anointing it, it's not really making a difference. It's the anointing that set Saul apart. Romans 6 talks about putting off our old nature through baptism. We read in Galatians 3:27, for those of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. Baptism by water and the Spirit, by being filled with the Spirit of God, helps us to take on God's nature. And now we're looking and acting and being like God. Not because I'm white-knuckling it and willing myself to be like God, but because I'm surrendering to him and his Spirit is flowing through me. And this is the type of change Saul experienced. Once Saul became king, the people saw him win many battles. And they might have attributed this to his stature, how big he was and strong he was. But they were looking for a king and they wanted someone to be the big man. Saul didn't think his height and his physical appearances would make him a good king. In the early part of his calling to kingship, he recognized his need of the Spirit. Perhaps this is why he was so reluctant to accept the call. We see this in other people in the Bible. Moses had excuses. Oh, I can't speak very well. Isaac had excuses. Well, I've got unclean lips. I sinned before. Jeremiah had excuses. I'm too young. Isaiah had excuses. Oh, we already went through Isaiah. Saul, too, had excuses. He was hiding among the baggage. The big, strong, good-looking, like athletic dude was going to be king. The one you'd want to be king just based on looks. And he was like, is there somebody else that can do this? Like, I don't know if I'm qualified. Strangely enough, the man who looked like a king, due to his outward appearance, was trying to hide from the people. And so the lesson we learn is that though I may feel inadequate, the ministry can help me accept and understand my calling. That's what Samuel's role was. Samuel helped him accept and understand the calling, just like Samuel learned from Eli. We may feel inadequate like Saul, Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and many others. But humility is good when it comes to God's calling. We need to keep our head down and go to work. Let God do the promoting. Let God do the promoting in his time. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. What's the proper time? Well, I don't know. God will define that. It says, just humble yourself and go to work. Just put your head down and work. Casting all your cares on him. Oh, but God, what about this? Well, what if I'm not preaching enough? Or what if I'm not teaching enough? Or what if I'm just, I need to be noticed? No, God's like, just go to work. Just serve. Spend some time praying and reading my word. I will promote you at the proper time. Humility is a spiritual requirement in the kingdom of God. Humility helps us to focus on God's kingdom and not our kingdom. It helps us to see the work as God's work and not our work. Humility shows us that they're God's souls and not our numbers. It's God's victories and not our victories, which also means that they're God's problems and not our problems. They're his burdens and not our burdens. And we can cast those burdens on him and say, God, you got to take this one. I'm just here to work and serve. This is a big, giant mess. I need your help. And so as we're wrapping up here, there's some lessons that I've learned in my life that are in these stories that I want to put out for you here. 5 lessons from Hannah, Samuel, Saul, and we haven't even talked about David, but we're going to sneak him into some of these lessons. The first lesson about understanding the call of God in your life is that all these people were working. The boy Samuel served the Lord in Eli's presence. Saul was searching for donkeys for his father. David was tending sheep. And so the lesson to learn, Sister Vicky, thank you, is to grow where you're planted. Stop waiting for a loud voice to start doing the simple thing. Stop being like Naaman and saying, well, if he asks me to do something really fancy and crazy, then I'll do it. Whereas Naaman's servant saying, he just wanted you to dunk. It's pretty simple. Just go to work. Just get in the process. Oh, but I need this, like, I need the Brother Bernard, David Bernard, to come down and put the sword over me and bestow me as a knight. No, go teach a Bible study. Go clean the church. Go plant some flower beds. Work is work. Not everybody's called to be a preacher or a flower bed tender. Everybody's called for something different. But it's in your work that you find your calling. It is in working that you find calling. And so many times we miss out on the calling of God's in our life because we're waiting for the call before we work. We find God in the process, not in the call. And so the first lesson from these people's lives is they were working. The second lesson we find is that they too felt unworthy or reluctant to accept the anointing, the call of God. They felt they were not worthy, not good enough. Well, I'm not perfect all the time. I've had a rough couple months. Samuel, he shares his vision to Eli, which is like, hey, Eli, here's what God said. You and your family are going to get destroyed because of your sins. Right? Eli had to reinforce with him that it was okay to give bad news about his sons. And that Samuel shouldn't feel bad. Samuel should accept the calling. Even if it means negative things, it doesn't matter. God's calling comes first. Saul, we read in 1 Samuel 9:21, it says, Saul responded, am I not a Benjamite from the smallest of Israel's tribe? And isn't my clan the least important of all the clans of the Benjamite tribe? So why have you said something like this to me? You're telling me I'm king? There's 12 tribes in Israel. My tribe is the smallest, least important one. And of that tribe, there's a bunch of clans. My clan is the smallest, least important one. It's like being a Packer fan in the NFC North right now. I'm sorry. I had to sneak that in. And so Saul felt like, well, that's my background. I wasn't born into this Pentecostal heritage. My daddy wasn't a preacher. My mommy wasn't a preacher. I can't do this. Well, I haven't been trained right. I don't have what it takes. And so what I would say to you in this message is that it doesn't matter whether you feel worthy or whether you're reluctant to accept the calling. Going back to lesson number one, go to work. If God has called you, so step one, if God's calling you, but if God has called you and you don't see anything yet, keep working. Keep serving. Keep giving. Even if you don't feel worthy, well, I don't feel worthy. That's the devil. Can I say that right now? Well, I don't feel like I'm worthy enough to tend the gardens. See, I said it out loud. It sounds a little bit weird, right? I don't feel like I'm worthy enough to make a soup for somebody. Wait, something's off here. Actually, that's the actually definition of being a servant, like not being worthy and doing something for someone. Well, I don't feel like I'm worthy enough to clean the church or to, you know, well, I'm not a Bible scholar, so I can't teach a Bible study. Well, pull open the Bible and just sit with someone and read it together and talk about what you're learning. We did this a couple weeks ago with our lesson in the Way is Life, and we talked about Bible reading. Even if you don't feel worthy, there will be fruit in your life. Your worthiness and your reluctance has nothing to do with God's call. That's all on your side. And so how you respond to that is what's important. David was anointed. He was called early on, but he still stayed and served and submitted to this king. Can I remind you? That was the king that was literally out there trying to kill him. He's like, no, I'm not going to touch this man. He is God's anointed. If God wants him gone, God will remove him. But David, you're the anointed king of Israel. I'm going to humble myself and go to work, and God will promote me. The third lesson we learn is that asking others for help is a good thing. Hannah asked Eli. Samuel asked Eli. Saul asked Samuel. David asked Samuel. David even learned from his leader, the king, Saul, who was horribly evil and sinning all the time and trying to kill him. He learned lessons about what not to do. But also, he learned from his leadership. Sometimes we're in positions, maybe even in our jobs, right? Jobs, spiritual, whatever. We're in positions where we're submitted to somebody and God might be using them to change you. And so let's quit trying to remove ourselves from the situations or the consequences, and let's face them and let God speak to us. So what voices are you letting into your life? Now, I'm not talking about going to your pastor, because Brother Seidel doesn't got time to help you guys all decide what car to buy. Brother Roy doesn't got time to tell you which community to live in, okay? But we go to our leaders and say, this is what I feel God's speaking to me. And you ask him, is it God? You're thinking, is it God? Is it myself? Is it the pizza you had last night? God isn't in every dream, just so we're clear. Right? And so we talk to our spiritual leaders. We go to our leaders for advice. We ask them for help. This is what I'm hearing. Not, hey, Pastor Seidel, do I have a call of God in my life? No, because the first thing I'm going to say, if you come to me and say this, is, where are you working? Where's your head down? Are you praying? Are you reading your Bible? Because the call doesn't come because I said it came. The call happens because you're working and praying and reading your Bible. And then one day you realize, man, I have a passion for this. And then you can word it whatever you want, but that's a call of God in your life. The fourth lesson is that honor comes after humility. Go back and watch that video. That whole Samuel is about God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Proverbs 18:12 says, honor is after, before honor is humility. But humility comes before honor. We all want to be honored. We want to be promoted. But God says, put your head down and do work. There's going to be a lot of humility before there's honor. Hannah, the humility of not being able to have a child, but God was her strength. She poured out to God, and look where Samuel ended up. Her humility resulted in Samuel's honor. Samuel, humbly serving Eli and his wicked sons. Saul, a nobody from a nobody tribe. David, when they describe him, go get my son from the pastors. He's tending sheep. They call him a hakatan. It's like a worthless one. The one nobody wants. He's not good looking like my other sons. He's got like red cheeks. He looks a little young. We just put him out there with the sheep. But he was out in the field for a long time, doing nothing that was glorious. He was just working. He was serving. And in that service, he was praising God and worshiping God. And he was defeating bears and lions. And sometimes in our lives, we're like, what is this thing I'm going through? And God's like, just kill the bear because I got something bigger for you to kill later. But if we're afraid of working and serving where God has us, we'll never defeat that bear. We'll run away from that lion, and you'll be running from that lion for the rest of your life. You won't even hear the name Goliath. The last lesson I have. Oh, sorry. I'm going to finish that one. David was the worthless one. So we're talking about how honor comes after humility. Jesus says that the Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. He's talking about giving, but he's also talking about prayer. Don't be the one trying to be up here and get all noticed. We should pray out loud. That's okay. Okay, I'm not saying that. But when it's about being noticed, then you're trying to get the honor, and that is your honor. And the godly honor and anointing isn't in that. Sorry, I got to go off on a tangent here. Sometimes we prefer to be noticed doing something good than doing something good. You can thank social media and Mark Zuckerberg for that one. It's not his fault. It's us, right? It's our sin and our fleshly nature. But we'd rather be noticed donating to charity than just donating to charity. We'd rather be noticed teaching a Bible study than teaching a Bible study. We'd rather be noticed reading our Bible than reading our Bible. We care more about being noticed doing something good than actually doing something good. So that was a tangent. That's not part of this lesson. So honor comes after humility. And I just want to say right now, rarely do you see people being used who have taken a shortcut. Rarely do you see people that are being used, that are anointed, that took a shortcut. True anointing comes from following God, from spending time with him and his word, from struggles and trials and lions and bears, from being out in the wilderness, from pouring your heart out to God because you can't have kids, from searching for donkeys. From learning to hear his voice. You might see somebody come up here and be like, man, they're anointed. Man, I just want to be anointed like Sister Vicky when she speaks. She just didn't walk up here and that happened. The things God takes people through to their anointing starts with work. There's no shortcuts with the anointing. And the last lesson I have for you, maybe you're someone who's heard the call of God. Maybe you've understood it. Maybe you've pushed past the unworthiness and the reluctance and you're working. But maybe things are tough or complicated or confusing right now. Maybe your circumstances are not what you thought they would be. Let me tell you something. Your circumstances do not change your calling. Your circumstances do not change your calling. David getting chased by Saul, that didn't change his calling. It made it difficult, but it didn't change it. And so if you're someone where your situation is not looking good, or you feel down and out right now, God's call is still real in your life. The devil would try and distract you from his calling of doing the will of God, but don't give up. Keep working. Go back to where you found that calling, which is working. Let's all stand. Our lesson is help to understand God's call. My recap lessons are get to work. Don't worry if you feel right. Ask your leaders and mentors for help for what you're hearing from God's word. Honor comes after humility. And maybe you've heard God's call. Keep working, even if things are dim. Let's pray this morning. But as we're praying, and I'm going to be praying out loud, so you might be listening to me, you might be praying for yourself, but let's pray that God gives us a heart to serve and to work. Pray that God gives us a heart to be closer to him. Let's pray that God helps us to submit to our leaders, our imperfect, not perfect leaders. Let's pray that God helps us to recognize his voice and to understand his calling in our lives. Because God has a call on every single person that is hearing this message. Oh, Peter, I'm not a preacher. No. Let's stop like attaching calling to preaching. God has a calling on your life, and it's more than your skills and abilities. It's his anointing that's going to work and move through you, and you find it in the work. You find it in the process. Let's pray this morning. God, thank you so much for your word. God, thank you for what you're showing us in Samuel and in Saul and in Hannah and David. God, give us all a heart to serve and to work, God, above everything else. Help us to put our heads down and be humble, God, and just trust that you're going to promote and you're going to call us. God, I pray that you would help us to be closer to you in what we do. Help us to put you first, to separate from the things that are distracting, and God, to separate unto you, to focus on things that matter to you. God, help me to submit and help us to submit to the leaders in our lives, whether they're in this building or outside of this building. God, you have called us to submit and to obey our leaders. God, help us to do that. God, help us to recognize your voice in our daily walk. When we're reading your word, help us to hear your voice. God, help us too at times when we think we've heard it and we're curious. God, let us know we can go to one of our leaders or mentors for help. And God, in all of this, help us to understand your calling in our lives. God, help us not miss the calling because we're busy and because we're distracted and because we're not paying attention and because we're afraid to face things. God, I pray, Lord, that you would speak into every heart and mind today. God, give them a passion for serving and working and worshiping and praying and reading your word. God, help them to find you in the process, God, and in turn find the calling that you have on their life. In Jesus' name, we pray.